Blog Talk Radio.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be than anything that this world affords today.
Come back.
On
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. And I just want to welcome each and every one of you. Blessed Thursday. Hope that all had a wonderful day. Let us have a word of prayer before we go into our prayer requests and our testimonies or just a thought from your devotion. Amen. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord, your protection, your mercy, your love towards each and every one of us and our friends and family, Lord. We ask that you will be in the midst of us, Lord, as you say, where there's two or three gathered in your name, you're in the midst, Lord. Help us, kind and loving Father, to magnify and glorify your name. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to receive the message that we will hear this evening from Brother Eugene, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, oh, kind and loving Father, that he will bring the message that is so needed for this end time, Lord. And I thank you for each family representative here today and those that will be joining us and also those that are joining us via the internet. May you answer their prayer accordingly, Lord. You know their needs. You know their wants, oh, Lord. But most of all, you know what is best for your children, Lord. Give them your heart desire that is best for them, Lord. Again, we thank you, we glorify, we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving and honor. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading, you can press 1, and that will indicate to me that you would like to share. If you are a new caller, you can press 1 also and tell us your name and where you're calling from. We have 30 minutes of sharing, and then at 7:30 or about, Brother Eugene will come on with the message. So please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading. I would like to read Deuteronomy chapter 32 and starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 32 starting at verse 1. It reads, "Give ear, O ye heaven, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the word of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the shower upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect." Amen. "For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity," which is sin, "just and right is he." So God is a God of truth and without iniquity, and he is just and right. His works are perfect because he is perfect. Amen. So we serve a loving, kind, just, true, perfect God. So that is, it's a blessing because many people serve gods that have ears and they hear not, have mouth and they speak not, have eyes and they see not. So these are gods that they made with their hands. And we know those are false God, but we serve a true and living God. Amen. So I just thank the Lord for his mercy towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm just thankful and grateful. So this is the time, again, if you have a testimony to share or if you have a scripture reading that you would like to share or something from your devotional that just brought out something to you and you would like to share it, please press 1. Please go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad, which will indicate to me that you would like to speak because all the lines are closed until I open it, until I see you press 1 and I will open it. Okay, I would like to share Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and starting at verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So when we keep the law of the Lord, his commandments, we will have length of days, long life, and peace. Amen. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." So we will find favor and good understanding, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men, our fellow, brothers and sisters, our fellow folks in the world will find good favor. And I could thank the Lord for that, as he brings me into good favor with my clients and my co-workers. Amen. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." So we ought to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Amen. And we're not supposed to lean unto our own ways, not do our own thing, but trust in the Lord. Pray to him and ask him for wisdom and direction. And in all our ways, acknowledge him, give thanks and give praise and honor unto him, even before people. And we know that he will direct our path. So we have to, there's an open communication for us to hear the word of God. We have to be praying, meditating upon his word, and there's different ways that we can hear him. Amen. So I see two individuals have pressed 1. Amen. Thank you for joining us. I'll go ahead and open the line for 914-980. Your line is now open.
Yes, good evening.
Amen. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Joan. I just wanted to give a praise report unto the Lord. He is always showing me how much he loves me. And on yesterday, I live in a rural district, and yesterday on the way home, about 40 yards, in front of my car, I saw this little brown thing crossing the road. And as I got closer, I saw another little brown thing scurrying across the road. It turns out that they were young deer. And I said a quick prayer to the Lord, said, "Lord, please let them get across the road before I get my car up there." And then I leaned on the horn. I do have deer horns on my car, so they heard it. And unfortunately, what deer do is they stop and they look. So they stopped and looked, and then I leaned on my car's horn, and that startled them, and they ran across the road. And I said, "Oh, Lord, thank you so very much," because, you don't want to hit or damage your car, and you don't want to hit any innocent animals or people or anything like that. Well, I'm praising the Lord and driving down the road, and I make the turn to go into my development, which has a long road to attach to it. And what do you know? Off in the distance, yet again, about 50 yards in front of me, I see these brown things scurrying across the road. And I said, "Oh, Lord, please don't let me hit them." And so I leaned on the horn, and this one, the younger ones went across the road, and then the larger one, I think is the mom, she got confused and she stayed back. But then she doubled around in a circle when she saw that her babies had gone across the road, and she was still on the right side and they were on the left side. So she got really scared. She spun around in a circle, and then at the last minute, she decided to run in front of my car. And she made it. I could see the color of her eyes. She was about 3 feet from my car. My car was going about 45 miles per hour. We're told, those who live in the country, and at least in this area, when you see an animal crossing the road, do not slow down. keep going and do not swerve, because you'll put yourself in danger to lose control of the vehicle. All the more if the ground is wet or snowy. And so I just want to praise the Lord for the grace and the mercy that he showed for those innocent animals, but also for sparing my life and giving me the wherewithal to remember what to do when imminent danger was in front of me. And I just thank the Lord for his timing and for his reminder of how much he loves his creation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jones, for that testimony. And I thank the Lord for you for joining us this evening. And if it's appropriate, if you're in about 20, 25 minutes, I'll come back to you for prayer if you're able to do, give us a word of prayer. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you for your testimony. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God is truly good, brothers and sisters. So Joan was saying that I was also reminded Tuesday about my close call with a deer. Sunset, and it was about 6, a little after 6, and I was coming down a road nearby my house, and it was just before, because I was on the prayer line with regarding the ute. It was a meeting, so I prayed, and about 5 minutes after I prayed, said a word of prayer, a deer, it was a really huge one. He was going really fast, came out of nowhere. The only time I saw him is when he was dashing in front of my car, and he was really close up on my car, and it was just nothing but the Lord that protected me, because, I mean, if he would have hit me, I don't know what would have happened. I probably wouldn't be on the line right now. So I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love, his protection for his people. And we have to continue to pray, continue to go before the Lord and pray in thanksgiving for his mercy, his love, each and every one of us, and for our family and friends also. Amen. So be encouraged, be blessed. The Lord hear our prayer, and he is answering them even before we ask. Amen. So we just have to be faithful stewards. I'll go to the next caller. Thank you for calling. Again, press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer requests, or scripture readings so that I can open your line before we go into prayer and before Brother Eugene Prevail come on and bring us the message. 401-919, your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Caller, for opening up my line. Hope all is well with everyone. God be praised, God be honored, and God be glorified. Glory to God. I want to let you know that I believe God, and I know from my heart, that God has put us here for a purpose, each and every one of us. And we must know what God has called us to do. We must know God's will in our life, because the main fact is that the psalmist David said in Psalms 48, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So we must be delightful to do the will of God in every aspect and in every respect. I just want to say something very quickly, and I'll sing a psalm very quickly, very short. A sister called me today, and I won't say who, but I just want to let you know how we are here to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. She called. She said, Elder Richardson, I'm at my place, and I had was to move a little bit from the environment and to go to another place for a little while, and something came up that where she had to move again, and she just had to move in a week, and she was getting very frustrated. And lo and behold, I know the Lord had put upon her heart to call her brother in the Lord, Jesus, me. And she said, she explained me the situation. And this is why we are moved here. We ought to be moved with compassion. If we don't have compassion and love in our hearts, for especially for our brothers and sisters when they are in need, then, brothers and sisters, if we are not in place, if we are not there for each other, then something is wrong. Something is radically wrong when we are not in the place where God wants us to be. As Isaiah 58 brought out about the true fasting, what the true fast entails, what the true fasting means. Is it not to break thy bread to the hungry and to those that are cast out, to take into your home, and those that are naked that you be clothed, and those that are hungry you feed? And I said, Lord, this sister is in need. She don't know who to call. I mean, miles away from, it's not around here in Rhode Island. And immediately I called someone in that area. And I say, you know, there's a sister in need here, urgent need. And I called up and three-way, put both of them, and they talked. And in about 10 minutes, folks, this was resolved. Mind is settled now. She's happy that, you know, things have worked out in that way, in that sense. And brethren, this is why we are here, to be our brothers and our sisters' keeper in the Lord. I want to sing this song. We must be assured Jesus is ours. If we are not sure that Jesus is ours in our life, in our leadings, something is radically wrong. As I sing this song, I pray our hearts will be truly, truly blessed. And the song, of course, is Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And I hope he's all of us, truly in our hearts. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Oh, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior so happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Will wait his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Elder Richardson, for that song. That's one of my favorite songs also. And brothers and sisters, I pray that you were blessed by that song. We all have a story, and we all will have to tell our story. Amen. So, and as we're running out of time, we will be back on tomorrow evening from 7 to 9. And if you did not get a chance to give your testimony or your prayer request, or if, you know, if you wanted to pray, please join us again tomorrow evening, bringing in the Sabbath. We will be back on. Amen. So as I see that Brother Eugene is not on yet, I will open the line for one more individual. Please be brief, and then Sister Joan will give us a word of prayer. And Brother Eugene, if you are on under a different number, you can go ahead and press 1. To let me know that you are on. And seeing that we might have, it depends how many, how long the testimonies are, if we might have a chance for 2 testimonies or prayer requests. Okay, I'll open the line for 225-337. Again, thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Your line is open. Check, see if
good
your
evening,
phone is on mute,
brothers,
please.
Good evening,
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Leola. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I would just like to share scripture, and I want to read from, this is prophecy. It's reading about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and it says, all deeds and secret things will be judged. It says the psalmist, the law of the Lord is perfect. How wonderful is simplicity. Its comprehensiveness and perfection is the law of Jehovah. It is so brief that we can easily comment every precept to memory, and yet so far-reaching as to express the whole will of God, to take a cognizance not only of the outward action, but of the thoughts and the intent, the desires and emotions of the heart. Human laws cannot do this. They can deal with the outward action only. A man may be a transgressor and yet conceal his misdeeds from human eyes. He may be a criminal, a thief, a murderer, or an adulteress. But as so long as he is not discovered, the law cannot command him as guilty. The law of God takes note of the jealousy, envy, hatred, malignant, revenge, lust, ambition surge through the souls, but have not found expression in the outward action, because the opportunity is not, okay, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong, because the opportunity is not expressed on the outward action, because the opportunity, the will has been wanting, and these sinful emotions will be brought into the account in the day when God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. I just want to thank God, and Sister Carla, I'm going to say that's it, so others get a certain to talk. Amen?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for joining us and coming on and sharing that scripture. Amen. Now, we will go to our prayer from Sister Joan, because Brother Eugene is on to start the message. Amen. We'll be timely. Do things decency and in order. I'll go ahead and open the line now for Sister Joan so she can give us a word of prayer. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Can we assume an attitude of prayer, please? Holy Father, teach us to pray. We come before you this evening, on this Thursday evening. We lay ourselves at the feet of the throne of the God of grace and mercy. We first confess our sins, Holy Father, for we are not even worthy to speak your name, and the filth of sin has covered us like paint on a wall. We cannot make ourselves clean. We cannot change our colors. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can change us and move us. And so we come humbly before you this evening, Father, asking that you will forgive us of our sin, wash us, make us pure in our minds, and change our hearts, that we shall desire the holy things of God, that we will crave the lovely, beautiful, pure, and true things of our Lord and our God. We thank you for an opportunity to grow close to you this evening. We ask you to train our ears to hear even those things that we don't want to hear that may seem difficult to us. We cannot go to heaven as we are. We need you to help us to change. We simply need to put our will on the side of the Lord. And so on this night, dear Father, we ask you to do that. We give you permission. And we ask a blessing upon the speaker, Brother Eugene. Let his words be your words. His thoughts, they are your thoughts. His mind, his understanding, let them be your mind. And we will sing hallelujah, and we will rejoice in the grace and the mercy that you have shown us tonight. We will share, Lord, because love cannot keep a secret to itself. Love must grow. And so for the privilege and honor of being here tonight and hearing the message, help us to apply it. Bless our hostess, dear Father. Encourage her as she conducts these meetings. Bless the speaker. Encourage him as he searches the words to share with others. And encourage those who are listening that their lives will be forever changed. They will be different at the end than they were at the beginning of this meeting. We thank you for hearing and answering this very special prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Joan, for that prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Welcome, my brothers and sisters. I pray that you have your Bible, a writing instrument, and a notebook or a notepad to take notes and to write down scriptures and to go and reread them and also to share them, because what we hear is not just for us, it's for us to share, to teach, to encourage others. Amen. So now I'll go ahead and open the line for Brother Eugene. Your line is now open.
Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
I want to say thank you again for the prayer. Thank you again also for the reading that was done earlier. As Sister Carla stated, I pray that you may have your pen and paper. I love to study God's Word because I do believe we are living in the last moments of Earth's history. And I do believe that we are going to face a time of trouble that will challenge every single Christian that profess the name of Jesus Christ. And also, too, I do believe that prophecy is fast fulfilling. And as inspiration says in the book Evangelism, page 195, paragraph 1, it states that the perils of the last days are upon us. And in our work, we are to warn the people of the danger they are in. Let not the solemn scenes which prophecy has revealed be left untouched. If our people were half awake, they realize the nearness of the events portrayed in the Revelation. A reformation will be wrought in our churches, and many more would believe the message. So in other words, if we do not realize we're living in the last days and we don't do our part in warning the people in regards to the scenes that are taking place in the book of Revelation, we will not see a reformation among us. And this is the reason why the church is in the state where it is, friends. There's no power. It's lacking. And there's many messages that we have that God has entrusted to us to give to the remnant. But I want to share a very important message. It's nothing new, you would say, but I would like to revisit it. And before we do, let us open up the Word of God with prayer. My Father in heaven, thank you again for this evening. Thank you for the day. Thank you for guiding us, Lord. Father, we have witnessed many challenges, obstacles, and difficulties, but we also have witnessed victory because we live to see another day. We need your Holy Spirit. Teach us what you have for us to learn. Be with my mouth, and please guide me and hide me behind the cross. In Christ's name, amen. The Word of God states in the book of Daniel 7, the book of Daniel chapter 7, here Daniel, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel was in his room somewhere, asleep. And upon that night, a vision came to him by God concerning the events that are going to take place. But this was an interesting dream. It involves various creatures that came upon that scene. The Bible says that four beasts came up out of the sea. The first was a lion, then the bear, then there was a four-headed leopard, and then a undescribable beast which had 10 horns and a little horn came up. We know that these are the various world empires that were going to transpire in the coming years, according to Daniel, where he was. But yet it foretold as well of the coming Messiah, kingdom being established further on. But I also want us to see something that has been recorded in that vision in verse 9 and 10 in Daniel's book. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, the Bible states, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down." The original translation is "until the thrones were set up." And it continues, "And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Here's a picture of God the Father seated on a throne that has wheels. And a throne that has wheels can move. And a throne that has wheels can move implies that God can move from one place to the next. Verse 10 tells us, where did he move to? Verse 10, "A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open," implying that a judgment was not set up and the books were not open before. But now, in this event that Daniel is seeing, a judgment scene had taken place, and books are now open that were sealed. Now, according to this passage that we see, God has entered into a judgment. God has, in this judgment, books are presented before God. Notice what the pen of inspiration has to say about this. Volumes 4 of Testimonies for the Church, page 384, paragraph 2. Volumes 4 of Testimonies for the Church, page 384, paragraph 2. It reads, "The great day of the execution of God's judgment seemed to have come. 10,000 times 10,000 were assembled before a large throne, upon which was seated a person of majestic appearance. Several books were upon the covers of each was written in letters of gold, which seemed like a burning flame of fire. Ledger of Heaven," that's the title. "One of these books contained the names of those who claim to believe the truth, was then open. Immediately I lost sight of the countless millions about the throne, and only those who were professedly children of light and of the truth engaged my attention. As these persons were named one by one and their good deeds mentioned, their countenances would light up with a holy joy that was reflected in every direction. But this did not seem to rest upon my mind with the greatest force." And notice what it says in paragraph 3 on page 384 of volume 4 of Testimonies from the Church. "Another book was opened, wherein were recorded the sins of those who professed the truth. Under the general heading, selfishness, came every other sin. There were also headings over every column, and underneath these, opposite each name, were recorded in their respective columns the lesser sins. Under covetousness came falsehood, theft, robbery, fraud, advance. Under ambition came pride and extravagance. Jealousy stood at the head of malice, envy, and hatred. And intemperance headed a long list of fearful crimes, such as lasciviousness, hatred, indulgence of animal passions, etc. And as I beheld, I was filled with inexpressible anguish and exclaimed, who can be saved? Who will stand justified before God? Whose robes are spotless? Who are faultless in the sight of a pure, holy God? The servant of the Lord, in vision, seeing what Daniel saw, was in full astonishment of what took place. It was not the miraculous picture of the majestic being on the throne, God the Father. It was not the splendid glory of angels, of light, surrounding the Father. It was not also the names of those who profess Christianity. It was the sins that were committed by those who profess Jesus Christ. And yes, the wicked were there named. And the question was asked, who can be saved? That was the same question Peter said to Jesus when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, in that famous story of when the rich young ruler came to him to ask him the question, what must I do to be saved? Or what should I do to inherit eternal life? And then, obviously, we know the story. Jesus gave him opportunity to sell all that he had and give to the poor. And then the Bible says he was very sorrowful. And then Jesus says how hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? It's a very serious question we have to ask ourselves. Because if the servant of the Lord, a righteous woman, by God's amazing grace, is herself trembling at fear, how much more do we as a people must fear the judgment of God? My friends, in the judgment, men will not be condemned, not because they believe a lie, not because they did not accept Jesus. That is the primary. They'll be condemned because they failed to accept salvation which was made available. Jesus does says that you can curse him, you can say all sorts of things against him, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven. That is implying that the Holy Spirit is leading us to accept the cross. But if we don't accept the cross by the pleading of the Holy Spirit convicting us, we are rejecting the Spirit that is leading us to accept Jesus. And if we do not go to the Savior to receive salvation, every sin that we have done will be brought into account against us on the day of judgment. God will not condemn us. We will condemn ourselves. How do we know this? Matthew chapter 12. Notice what the Bible says. The book of Matthew chapter 12. Reading from verse 36 to 37. The word of God states, but I say unto you, Jesus saying, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So in other words, our life record will condemn us on the day of judgment. It's not God. He has done everything. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 17 that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In John chapter 12, the word of God says also here, this is Jesus saying in verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And he says in verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. It is God's business in saving mankind, not condemning them. Men will be condemned because they have failed to accept the precious gift that came down from heaven. Our actions that we do every day, the things we speak, how we perceive and think of others negatively, the list goes on. That will condemn us. Notice what the Bible says here. It reads, let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12. And notice what Jesus says here. In Luke chapter 12, the word of God says this. In verse, we can read the context, but for time's sake, I'm looking at the time, it's 7:53. Let's jump to verse 36. And it reads, this is a parable that Jesus is giving, and he says this, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Here we see in this parable that Jesus is giving, he says that blessed are those servants who are watching for their Lord coming. But in verse 36, it says something interesting. It says that they are waiting for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. What is this wedding? In the book Great Controversy, in light of what we read in Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says, before I read Great Controversy, I want us to go to back to Daniel chapter 7 and reading from verse 13. And notice what it says. We read verse 9 and 10 concerning the judgment was set and the books were opened. Notice verse 13 and 14. And I saw in a night visions of Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the people and nations and languages should serve him. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Great Controversy, page 479, paragraph 3. Great Controversy, page 479, paragraph 3. Reading from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, in which we did, the paragraph states, the coming of Christ here described is not his second coming to the earth. He comes to the Ancient of Days in heaven to receive a dominion and a glory and a kingdom, which will be given him at the close of work as a mediator. It is this coming, not his second advent to the earth, that was foretold in a prophecy to take place at the termination of the 2300 days in 1844. Attended by heavenly angels, our great high priest enters the Holy of Holies and there appears in the presence of God to engage in the last acts of his ministration in the behalf of men, to perform the work of investigative judgment, and to make an atonement for all who are shown to be entitled to its benefits. So here, what we just read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, is a scene of Jesus Christ coming to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, to do the work of investigative judgment, as well as the work of the final atonement. If there is a final atonement, then there was a previous atonement before the final one. Now we know from the Bible in Romans chapter 5, reading from verses 8 to 10, that the final atonement, the first atonement that Jesus done was at the cross for the salvation of the world. And the final atonement is the work of blotting out of sins, which is not in our study for this evening, but I want us to look at something very key. Notice what it says here. We are looking at the work that Jesus is doing in the first phase of the investigative judgment. It says on page 43, paragraph 1 of Great Controversy, as the books of record are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God, beginning with those who first lived upon the earth, referring to as Adam and the antediluvians. Our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. That means it starts with those that died in the early periods of earth history, and is going to close in a time period when people are living. The quote continues, every name is mentioned, every case closely investigated. Names are accepted, names are rejected. When any have sins remaining upon the books of record, unrepented of, unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life, and the record of their good deeds will be erased from the book of God's remembrance. The Lord declared to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Exodus 32, verse 33. And says the prophet Ezekiel, when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness that he have done shall not be remembered. Now I want you to pay very close attention that whose lives are being reviewed in the judgment. It states that all, in the first sentence of this paragraph, that the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God. This tells us that this work is involving only those who profess life of Jesus. Now, we know that the name Jesus did not come into existence in the time of David, Abraham, Elijah. They were looking forward to the Messiah, so therefore they are still part of that group. So anyone who was looking forward to the Messiah through the sacrificial service, they were still entitled to the work of Christ reviewing their records. Notice this on page 480, paragraph 1 of Great Controversy. In the typical service, only those who had come before God with confession and repentance. The typical service involved in this, the sanctuary that was done on earth during the Levitical priesthood when the nation of Israel was there. It continues, in the typical service, only those who had come before God with confession and repentance and whose sins through the blood of the sin offering were transferred to the sanctuary in the service of the Day of Atonement.
So in the great day of final atonement and investigative judgment, the only cases considered are those of the professed people of God. The judgment of the wicked is a distinct and separate work and takes place at a later period. Notice there's two classes of people mentioned: professed people of God and the wicked. And it goes forward. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? 1 Peter 4:17. Now, I need us to understand this, because this needs to be clearly understood. When we read that verse in 1 Peter 4:17, it has been stated that when Peter says that judgment must begin at the house of God, we have apply it, or we have said that that implies the Seventh-day Adventists. But my friends, in reality, God is not a respecter of persons. Yes, Seventh-day Adventists have been given the most greatest truth that has ever been entrusted to mortal. Yes, but remember, we are God's remnant church. If there is a remnant, then therefore there is a church that God has, but we are among the remnant. Which means that Christianity, on a global scale, you can name various denominations, they're still part of God's people. They may be in a wrong system of belief. However, they are still part of God's people. That's why Jesus says, other sheep that I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there will be one fold, one shepherd. That's John chapter 10 and verse 16. So here, anyone who professes Jesus Christ, the cases of those who have lived in the beginning of this world, even until the right now today, until the close of the administration in heaven, all those believers who look forward to the Messiah, their names are being brought before God in a judgment. But those who do not accept Jesus Christ, their case will be decided in a later period. And we know that the later period, that is referring to after the 1,000-year millennium. And you can see that picture in Revelation chapter 20, reading from verse, verses 4 all the way to verse 6. But then again, you can also read it as well from verse 11 to verse 13. And the Bible says how the dead, small and great, when they stood before the great white throne judgment, that's when books were open and their sins were being revealed to them. And sadly, they were cast into the lake of fire with Satan, the beast, the false prophets. Death and hell was cast there as well. That is another judgment that's going to take place after the 1,000 years. But the judgment we're talking about, this is for the cases of those who profess to believe Jesus. That's not only Seventh-day Adventists, but Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, you name it, etc. Now, the reason why this is important, my friends, that what we're seeing is because purpose of the investigative judgment that we see here is to allow us to see, and this is to show the vindication of God's character. The vindication of God's character. What do we mean by this? Is that the Bible says, I'm going to pull up this verse first. This is in Philippians chapter 2. We know this. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 8, Paul describes he counsels us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he describes the life of Christ, a life of humble obedience, even unto death. And then it says in verse 9 how where God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, God has given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in the things of heaven and on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That event will take place after the 1,000 years. The wicked will acknowledge it. The righteous who are in the holy city will acknowledge it. Every creation will acknowledge it. And the reason why they will acknowledge it, because they will see that God has given them every opportunity to see his love demonstrated in the life of Jesus, and more importantly, at the cross of Calvary. Calvary was one of the greatest demonstrations that God has revealed his love to a world that had no interest in being in a relationship with him. And it is then and there that the judgment is going to reveal who truly loved God, who truly was faithful to him, who truly understood the heart of God. And notice this right here as we continue. And it says this. And we're now going to look at here in 1 John chapter 4 as we come to a close. In 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says this. This is verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, that word means sacrifice, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The reason why God counsels us to love one another is because God demonstrated the love towards us even though we were his enemy. As much as you and I may have enemies in this life, it could be a coworker, it could be a family member, it could be a neighbor, the list goes on. We ought to love them the same way God demonstrated his love to us. And by doing this, he gave one of the greatest aspects of demonstration that he can do, and that is to give his only begotten Son. He poured out all heaven to save us. And we ought to pour out our lives for the brethren. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3. And it reads, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he did lay down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is to say that we have to come to the point of our experience to be able to lay down our lives even for those who do not deserve it. We need that love, friends. We need that heart. We need heart religion. I do believe, I wish we had time, I do believe that all those whose names would remain in the book of life and whose sins will be blotted out, it's much more than them. They understood that Jesus died for them, but they have come to the point of their experience to reflect the heart of God. God, the books are there not because God needs to remember what we have done, or God needs to remember who's among the righteous. He knows all this. These books are there so that we can see for ourselves the things that we have done, whether through Christ or through our own misleading and not listening to the moving of the Holy Spirit. But we will. But God is wants to see in these records who looks like Jesus Christ. And then the angels, as they are seeing, as well as the jury of heaven, they will see that mankind did it, that a Christian man and woman, they did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, I wish we can go into details because of time, but it is my sincere desire, my friends, that we can understand the basics, that Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10 and 13 and 14, in summary, is a picture of what took place in 1844, that the investigative judgment took place, and in the investigative judgment, books were opened. And in these books had the lives of all those who profess to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. They have the records of sins, even the records of the things that we have done for Jesus. And if you want to study deeply, there are three books mentioned in the judgment. The book of life, the names of all those who accepted Christ. You have the book of remembrance, the names of all those who have done and who have remembered the name of the Lord and have done the righteous things for God. And then you have the book of death in terms of, in fact, I'm going to read a statement for you real quickly. And this is taken from the book Early Writings, the book Early Writings, so you can have this in mind. Now, the Bible never made mention about this book, but Ellen White saw it in vision, and this is Early Writings, page 52. And notice what she says, right? After the saints are changed to immortality and caught up together with Jesus, after they have received their harps, their robes, and their crowns and enter the city, Jesus and the saints sit in the judgment. The books are open. Now notice, the book of life and the book of death. The book of life contains the good deeds of the saints, and the book of death contains the wicked deeds of the wicked. So now notice what we just saw. Two books were mentioned, the book of life and the book of death. The book of life contains the good deeds of the saints. The book of death contains the wicked deeds of the wicked. Now, let me introduce to you the context, right? Now, there's another book too as well. And if you go to, as well, Malachi chapter 3, let me share this real quickly, friends. In Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 16, right, then they that fear the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. So in other words, what the Bible is saying is that the book of remembrance have the names of those there who feared God, and they also thought upon his name. Now, a little bit more details with the book of remembrance. Notice what it says right over here too. Now, concerning the book of remembrance. And it says this in Great Controversy, page 481, paragraph 1. Great Controversy 481, paragraph 1. It's a book of remembrance is written before God, which are recorded the good deeds of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Their words of faith, their acts of love are registered in heaven. Nehemiah refers to this when he says, remember me, O my God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. In the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized. Their every temptation resisted, every evil overcome, every word of tender pity expressed is faithfully chronicled. In other words, it's written down. Right? And every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded. Says the psalmist, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle? Are they not in thy book? Psalm 56, verse 8. So the three books that we see here, friends, is the book of life, which contain the names of all those who have professed Jesus Christ. And we can see that in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. If you remember when the disciples came to him among the 70, they say how the devils are subject to our names. But Jesus says, rejoice, not because, you know, the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And then we see the book of death, which has the records of sins. And what God wants to do, friends, right, what God wants to do is that God wants our names to remain in the book of life, because Jesus said it clearly in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 5, he says this, right, and this is a beautiful promise. He says this, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus says, those who are clothed with white raiment. My friends, we read it in Luke how Jesus is waiting. He's longing to meet those who's waiting for him when he will return from the wedding. And my friends, Jesus, when he comes back from the wedding, he wants to see those who have a wedding garment. When you go to a wedding, my friends, you don't just come up in there with sneakers and jeans, dressed down. No, you don't do that. Out of respect, you wear a wedding attire. Out of respect. And so it is. When you go before the wedding, God wants to be sure that you are dressed according to attire of what has been mandated by the bride, more specifically the bridegroom and the family. And God is looking for those who have a wedding garment. My brothers and my sisters, the question is asked, do you have your wedding garment? Do you have your wedding garment? I want to read for you in Great Controversy. Notice what it says here in the book Great Controversy. It's very beautiful. Page 426, paragraph 1. The coming of Christ as our high priest to the most holy place for the cleansing of the sanctuary brought to view in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. The coming of the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days as presented in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And the coming of the Lord to his temple foretold by Malachi are descriptions of the same event. And this is also represented by the coming of the bridegroom to the marriage, described by Christ in the parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25. And my friends, when you read the next following paragraph, it addresses that in the summer and autumn of 1844, the proclamation was given, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," was given. So, my friends, Jesus entered the marriage. But in Luke chapter 12, it says that when he returns from the marriage, right, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go for those who were waiting and watching. And that's why the Bible says that when we go to heaven, we are going to enter the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to go to the reception. The reception is what we're going to look forward to when Jesus comes back, because we know that Jesus is going to serve us, because he said to his disciples that he will not eat of this bread and drink of this wine until we make it to the kingdom. Now, keep this in mind, friends. A kingdom was given to Jesus, but guess what? There's no subjects. And the purpose of the investigative judgment is to see who is entitled to be a subject or a citizen of this kingdom that God the Father has given to his Son, Jesus Christ. Only those who reflect the image of Jesus will be there. Only those who's willing to die for the brethren will be there. Only those who love their neighbor as themselves, even as God had loved us and giving his son, will be there. Only those who have the white raiment will be there. Only those whose names, who profess Jesus Christ, who are brought before the judgment, whose sins are, will be blotted out, and their names remain in the book of life, will be there. And my brothers and my sisters, I pray that selfishness will not be recorded against you in this very day. I pray that robbery, theft, gossip, backbiting, jealousy and envy, the list goes on, fornication, my friends, will not be made enough among you in this great and antitypical Day of Atonement. My brothers and my sisters, may we, by faith, look towards the sanctuary above. And it is my sincere desire that you and I will be there by faith with the Son of God. And we will look and realize and acknowledge that we have done it through the blood of the dear Son and Savior and great God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this statement. This is taken from the book Great Controversy again. This is Great Controversy. And my friends, I want to encourage you to read the chapter, What is the Sanctuary? And I want you to also read the chapter, when you get a chance, The Holiest of Holies as well. These are two beautiful chapters illustrating the work and also God's immutable law. Now, notice this. I'm going to close with this in Great Controversy, page 410. It says this, that, I think I'm going to read. Okay. Excuse me. This is the statement that I wanted to read for you. Yes, excuse me for that. Notice what it says right over here. It says this, right? It's on page 488. This is what I was looking for, page 488, paragraph 2. The subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God. All need a knowledge for themselves of the position and work of their great high priest. Otherwise, it will be impossible for them to exercise the faith which is essential at this time or to occupy the position which God designs them to fill. Each individual has a soul to save or to lose. Each has a case pending at the bar of God. Each must meet the great judge face to face. How important then that every mind contemplate often the solemn scene when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be open. When, with Daniel, each individual must stand in his lot at the end of the days. By God's amazing grace, I pray that we will have the faith to exercise with clear understanding the work and the position of our great high priest. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to say thank you again so much. We just saw just a glimpse in our study this evening in regards to the sanctuary. Father, there is so much that you can teach us. Help us to make diligent effort to understand what we're about to face. But Lord, help us to have in mind that the hope of reflecting a walking Jesus in our experience is possible. The life of victory. I pray that it will be among us, that group, the 144,000, I want to be there. I want my friends on this prayer line to be there. I want our families and friends to be there. Please teach us to love the brethren, even as you have loved us and given us your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eugene. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. I pray that you did take notes. And as we depart from each other, please go down on your knee and pray to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, your trespasses. And we have a lot to seek the Lord for. Amen. So please continue to read and study and be faithful witness. Amen. Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.